Welcome to the Human Flourishing Project. I'm Alex Epstein. Today's topic is working easier through strategic discipline. Working easier through strategic discipline. But before I get into that, I thought I would share with you, hopefully this isn't boring for most of you, just a little bit about my 40th birthday. It's August 2nd as I'm recording this, and I turned 40 on August 1st, so that's a pretty big birthday. And some of you asked how it went. And so it went really well. And there might be a couple of things you can pick up, because I was very strategic with this birthday in particular. I really wanted to enjoy it, and I really wanted it to be a rejuvenating weekend. Now I'm working on a bunch of projects, so I wasn't going to take a lot of time off, but I wanted to take 2 days off and have them be very enjoyable. So I'll tell you what I did. Now, some of the goodness is definitely related to great things other people did, but some of it is based on things that I deliberately did. So one thing I did in advance is I planned out my weekend pretty specifically. So I you know, blocked out what I wanted to do and when, and I people have different views, I guess, but I find it just super helpful to plan what I want to do on my weekend specifically. I don't find it to be that enjoyable when I just wake up on Saturday and have no idea what I want to do, because it's very similar with standard productive work, where I don't like thinking about what I need to do and then how to do it at the same time. I like to figure out in advance, okay, what do I need to do? And then I'm just thinking, and then when I'm executing, I'm thinking about, okay, how do I do this? But it's not, oh, should I work on, or do I want to work on a book right now? Or do I want to work on this other project or this other project? That I find to be very taxing. And I have a similar feeling about weekends, which I've talked about in the episode, I think it was called the Playtime Planner. So I was very deliberate about making sure Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, I had planned things out. So on Friday night, I had planned, okay, I'm going to do a brief Zoom call with my family, my parents and my siblings and my girlfriend and brother-in-law. So we're going to do that. Now that turned out to be really great, which I'll talk about in a minute. And then on Saturday, I wanted some time with my girlfriend specifically. And then I decided I wanted to have a virtual party with friends of mine from around the world, including friends of mine from whom I've known for decades in many cases. And then I wanted to have an in-person party with my good friends who are in Orange County. And then I also wanted to make sure that I got in some one-wheeling, and I wanted to make sure that I got in a bunch of time lying at the beach. And then I wanted to do something that was very kind of exciting and thrilling, and I chose paragliding in advance. So that was a really big deal to me, that I just thought in advance, okay, what's going to be a really fun, rejuvenating weekend, and mapped that out and made it deliberate versus leaving it to chance. So that was, I think that was a lot of the success of the weekend. And just in terms of some specific things on Friday night, so it turned out that my family had really went above and beyond. I wasn't even in thinking about any kind of present, and it's hard for me to think about, oh, what present do I want in general, because usually if I want something, I'll buy it or save up for it myself. But they made a video for me, and it wasn't just any video. It was actually a video. It was a, I don't know the right term for this, because it's not a parody, but it's sort of a maybe takeoff is the right term. But it was based on Hamilton, the play that I'm guessing many, many of you have seen or heard about or heard the songs from, and particularly now you can see it on Disney Plus. So it's even that much more accessible. At least most of the people I know personally know who Hamilton, about the Hamilton musical. And what they did is they made, so the theme, or the I think first song in the musical is called Alexander Hamilton. And so they made one called Alexander Epstein. And my sister Lizzie and my dad wrote lyrics, which are really, really good. And then my sister Marianne produced the thing. And then all my three sisters, my other sister Catherine included, who's been on this show before, they did it, and my mom and dad were in it, and my brother-in-law, Bob, was in it, and my girlfriend Cassandra was in it, and it was just so enjoyable and so cool. And this is, it just made me realize how much, like, how great a gift can be when it's just some sort of, you know, some customized thing that's not a product that one is buying for someone, but a really thoughtful expression of what somebody means to you. So I found this, like, it was so cool, and now I'm going to have this forever. So it's hard to think about a product or physical gift they could get me that would be anywhere near as enjoyable as this one. And then on Saturday morning, I found out my girlfriend Cassandra had gotten a lot of my friends to participate and to just film something saying happy birthday and then telling some stories or sharing some memories or just sharing what was meaningful about our friendship. And so that's a 40-minute video, and it was really, really cool to just see that and just to have that. And again, that's something that I'll have forever. So in terms of the really excellent gift giving that I was the beneficiary of, more like I'll try to learn from that for future gift giving myself. Let's see what else. So the parties were all fun. I liked the idea. I'll do this in the future of just a virtual party. I mean, obviously, we're thinking more in terms of virtual events, but it really opened it up in terms of, oh, I could have people from all around the world, and I have friends particularly all around the U.S., some around the world, and it was just really cool to connect with everyone, and it was friends from different eras of my life being on a single call, and that was a lot of fun. So that's definitely something that I'll do again. In-person party was a lot of fun. And one thing I did there that my friend Kobe suggested, and I thought this would be very fun in terms of just the adventure, thrill-seeking stuff that I like to have at least some of in my life. He said, okay, I'm going to catch you a lobster. And we're not allowed to actually take the lobster out of the ocean, so we didn't do that. But we went. It was getting pretty dark, and we're going in the water. And I couldn't see that much because we only had one snorkel. So he had the snorkel, and then my friend Chad had goggles. But he somehow managed to find a freaking lobster. And I got to hold it for several minutes, and I named it Larry the Lobster. It was just so cool. I had never hung out with a lobster like that. It was really this amazing thing. And then the next morning, as in this morning, Sunday, Kobe and I were supposed to go paragliding. And unfortunately, there was no wind, which, if you know my work on energy, you might find this funny because I make a big point of the fact that the wind doesn't blow all the time. And so it's not a good idea to try to be weather dependent for your energy because you need reliable energy and in particular reliable electricity on a 24/7 basis. So in any case, the wind was not cooperating this morning. So we ended up going snorkeling again in the light, and I got to get another lobster, hang out with another lobster, and there was a seal or a couple seals nearby that at one point it was a foot away or 2 feet away. It was just amazing. So that was a kind of thrill in and of itself. And it's just another example of thinking about, okay, what do I really enjoy doing? And one question I like to ask is what use of my time will I be really happy with? And almost always snorkeling in the ocean is something that I'll always be happy with. Going one wheeling on a good route, something I'll always be happening with. So I think that's everything in terms of one other that will be relevant to the idea of working easier through strategic discipline is that I decided I really made an effort to not have any kind of social media, really Friday during the workday and then the evening, as well as Saturday and Sunday. I just thought it'd be more enjoyable to just be focused on the stuff that was happening live, even though people send nice messages and stuff, particularly on Facebook. It's somewhat of a convention, but I just thought, okay, I'm going to just enjoy the live stuff. And I'll talk about that in a minute, because every time I just go off social media for a little while, it's just really notable how there's a real difference in feeling that occurs. So it made me that much more motivated to be more, I like social media, but to be more strategic in terms of when I do it. All right, so let's jump into this idea of working easier through strategic discipline. And this one reason this is coming up is because I'm thinking about, okay, what's my resolution? It's not New Year's, but I'm turning 40, so what's my resolution? And a big resolution that I've already been making a lot of progress toward and has been an interest of mine and I talk about on this show is this idea of relaxed productivity. And I'm increasingly liking calling it working easier. I like it because it's obviously it contrasts to work harder. And I like the idea of working easier, but still being really prolific in terms of output. And I think in many ways, working easier can lead to being more prolific, although that's not the only reason to do it. But it just, I think of working easier, relaxed productivity, these are just things that so many of us aspire to. Certainly I do. I think a lot of people listening to this show do, where we have this experience with productivity where it can be so satisfying, so fulfilling, so enjoyable, but it can also just be this source of incredible tension. And the more I think about where we are in history, and I think about, look, we're in a place where we're so productive that we don't have to work all the time even to survive at a really, really high level. So it's really worth thinking about how do we use all our time in the most satisfying way possible, including our productive time. And if we feel overwhelmed all the time, there's something off with that. So I've just been thinking as I approached 40, okay, what would I ideally like to do? What would my ideal work day be like? How can I move toward that? And for me, I think something like 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. is a really good chunk where I'd want to be doing work just no matter what, no matter how much money I had or anything else, because I find that really satisfying, and particularly really deep work, like working on a book. But then I would like to have the afternoons to just explore a bunch of things, including just things that are recreational or rejuvenative in nature, or to just read more and do more research and development type stuff that's more open-ended. I find that when I can do that and when I can let my mind be a little freer, I'll often come up with better stuff, and it's certainly more enjoyable. So heading into 40, I was trying to be particularly disciplined about time blocking, even more so than usual time blocking, so that I'm freeing up time for other things and being really efficient within the time block, but also making a priority of going to the beach. So for example, I, for the last week or two, maybe I've missed one day of going to the beach for an hour and just lying in the sand and taking a nap and going in the water and then sunning some more. And I just love that. I love the feeling of it. And it just afterward, it's just such a good reset for the afternoon. By the way, I usually do some, at least one round of Wim Hof breathing as well, which I'm still very into. So that's just an example of, okay, I really want to set things up so that my life is as enjoyable as possible. And part of that is getting in the rejuvenation. So then let me talk a little bit more directly about working easier and what's going on. And I think this, the way to explain the aspect I want to focus on is thinking about the relationship between passion and discipline. And it's going to ultimately be passion and capability and discipline, but I'll start off with passion. So there are lines by various people to the effect of, you want to have the kind of work where you don't have to push yourself all the time, where you get pulled. And I think this is, broadly speaking, very true. I think about how much work I'm willing to do, say, on the new version of the moral case for fossil fuels. And I think it's just very unusual that someone would be willing to work on it as hard as I do, in the sense of just keep pushing, 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 pushing. I have an idea of what I want it to be. Just keep doing that hour after hour, day after day, month after month. Even now it's starting to be year after year. And just having that level of dedication, there's so much of that is just a passion for the subject, where I'll just get into stretches where I'm just motivated and I don't want to do anything else. And it's because I really care about the issue, but also I just like the process of thinking about these kinds of things and communicating them. And I like the process of learning about them and going back and improving them. And without that, there's just no way I could do it. It's just too much to push all the time. And I think of it now, I don't know if this is a true analogy, but it's a true analogy in the way that I think of horses. If you just think of horse is racing, the jockey can't just be put, I mean, the jockey doesn't even have direct control over the horse, but in terms of its in, you know, in terms of motivating it internally, but the horses, at least the way they seem to operate, is they seem to really want to run and to compete. Now, they don't always want to do the exact thing that they need to do, and sometimes they need a push, but the, as a rider, again, this is at least my understanding, this analogy works well, you need the horse to be basically very motivated, to have a kind of passion for running. And then the other thing is, it has capability, so it's good at running. So much of the core of getting a lot of good stuff done has to involve, I think, passion and capability. And as I think that's why there can often be this feeling of, okay, well, I don't want to focus on discipline too much. I want to focus on passion. And yet, when you talk to people who are really productive, almost to a man or a woman, they'll say, well, so much of my success is because I am very disciplined. And some people are just disciplined to the point where they just push themselves constantly through all kinds of difficulty, or maybe they use substances to push them, and that is not enjoyable. So my belief about this has long been, I want to have the discipline to push myself when necessary, but I want to be doing things where there's a lot of pull from the passion, and then there's just a lot of ability that's driving. So where the pull of the passion is really creating a lot. And so then there's a lot of what you could call throughput in terms of just how much can be done with the passion. Yet discipline is important, but what is discipline important for? So one thing you could say is, well, it's important where the passion isn't fully activated. And that's one big thing. You don't want to be, once you have a plan, you don't want it to be dependent upon, oh, I feel like doing this exact thing right now. But at the same time, the discipline, if you think of the willpower and discipline as related, that seems to be a finite resource, and it's not the most enjoyable thing to do. So there's a question of how do we really use discipline? And this is this idea of strategic discipline. And I think the main area we want to be using discipline, or a main area, I don't know if it's 50% or more, which is what the main area would mean, but a major area, I think, is in creating the conditions that activate the passion and the capability. So creating the conditions that activate the passion and the capability. So there are a number of things one can do. So an example is just if you have a morning routine like a meditation, or I'm really into Wim Hof breathing these days, that's something where, okay, that, the discipline of doing that, and I talked last time about how to even make those things easier, different kinds of discipline, so you can combine that episode with this episode, but that's a really valuable, it's just that kind of Wim Hof, that is a very high leverage condition. I know that once I do that, I'm going to be feeling better, I'm going to be more energized, and I will have, all things being equal, I'll have more success. It'll be easier. It's easier to activate my motivation for the material. It's my capability will more come through in terms of just my ability to act, to the best of my ability. Or you can listen to the episode where I talk about 80%, where I don't think it's usually constructive to think I'm going to use 100% of my ability. But in practice, whatever, a good condition activates more of your ability and passion, and a bad condition deactivates it. And so it's worth thinking about. It's so important to be disciplined about the conditions that will make things better. Another one, which I referred to earlier in a slightly different context, is distractions or escapes, which is another episode. And one way to think about that discipline of saying, for example, one thing I like to do is, instead of having my phone with me, I have the little iPod, and the iPod doesn't take calls. It can take text messages if anyone, and I don't text a ton, so I'm not getting a lot of text messages, but, and it has Otter on it, this voice recording transcribing software I like to use a lot and I like to have handy, and it has the Apple Notes thing in case I want to take some notes, but it's really stripped down. So it's not something that's distracting. It's also got a small screen, so it's not that appealing. Whereas my phone has all this different stuff on it. And it's so easy to get into Twitter. Twitter in particular is probably the most compelling thing, or Instagram. Like, I like following certain jiu-jitsu people on Instagram, including this guy, Gordon Ryan. I particularly like following on Instagram. And I just find that it's such a default, and yet I know if I step back, those distractions / escapes, those are negative conditions. So those are going to make it harder to actually get things done. Another condition issue is timing. Just saying, okay, I want to start this at this time. That's another thing where it's super powerful. Other conditions can be conditions of place. I want to make sure I'm working in this place with this equipment and these files open and not these. You can think a lot about it. It's valuable to think a lot about, okay, what are the conditions of success for the work I'm going to do? And really think about what are the conditions that if I put these conditions in place, everything else is going to be easier. I'm going to be able to work easy, because when the right conditions are in place, you can work easy a much larger percentage of the time. And it's just all about getting into that. You get into that zone and then it's easy. And it's often you don't want to get out of it, but it can be so hard to get into it. And one of the things that can be so hard about getting into it is when you're not into it, it's so intimidating to think, just to use my own kind of example, oh, I'm going to be editing for the next 4.5 hours. I have to edit all these sections. That just seems like a ton if I'm not quite I'm not actually in it. Just from the outside, it can seem so daunting. And then it feels like, oh, I need discipline to get in it. And then I'm going to need to do 4.5 hours of discipline. This, I think, is really a big thing. It feels like the discipline and the willpower will be necessary for an incredibly extended period of time. And that is so daunting, because maybe you can't even do it that. But then if you realize, oh, no, wait, the discipline is primarily for the conditions. So I just need to follow the conditions, including something like, okay, just get started early, get 10 minutes in, whatever the conditions are that make it work. If one has discipline about that, okay, I'm just going to do these things, and then it's going to be like skiing downhill or snowboarding downhill, or pick your activity of choice, where downhill you get to take advantage of gravity. One other one, by the way, that I like for writing, and it probably applies to others. I think this is a term from Ayn Rand, and I think I learned it from Leonard Peikoff, who's a philosopher, who's Ayn Rand's top student and also her heir. And I'm pretty sure I got this from him. He talked about what's called small glances. I think Ayn Rand did this, which is before writing in the morning, just glance at what you're working on. Maybe it's just a glance in your mind thinking about it, or maybe it's just looking over something. But it's not saying, oh, I need to get into the whole thing at once, or I need to do this. It's just saying, oh, I'm just going to take a little look at this. So it might be taking a walk and just saying, oh, I just want to think about this for 5 minutes. And then that's a kind of condition that starts to prime the subconscious. It just, now I'm in the mode of, oh, I have ideas about this, and I have ideas about this, and yeah, I know what I want to do here. And it makes it so easy to start. But there will be times when I don't feel like doing small glances, and that's where the discipline comes in. It's just have the most discipline with regard to the conditions of success versus trying to use discipline to just push constantly. And what happens when one doesn't use discipline for the conditions of success, then it's much more necessary to have this discipline and willpower to execute, because I'm not going to be as primed for the work. I'm going to be more distracted. And then, yeah, that makes it a lot harder. So why not just change the game, so that I'd use a little willpower, a little discipline to set up the conditions. So then the actual execution involves a lot less willpower. So that's why I'm calling it working easier through strategic discipline. And so I'm thinking, it could seem paradoxical without this explanation, that I'm thinking of, okay, this year, you know, this next, you know, this next year of my life and indefinitely, I want to be working easier. But a big part of that is I want to be more disciplined. But I don't think of that as disciplined throughout the work. It's primarily disciplined in setting up the conditions of the work. And that is the idea that I wanted to share today. I hope that was useful. As always, if you have any questions, comments, love mail or hate mail, you can email me at alex@alexepstein.com. Also, if you want to join the discussion about this issue, go to facebook.com/humanflourishingproject. And if you want updates whenever there's a new episode of this show, go to humanflourishingproject.com. All right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed this episode. It continues to be fun and educational for me, and hopefully educational for others to do these every 2 weeks. I'm very excited about my 41st year being 40, and this audience of this show is no small part of that. So I hope everybody has a great next 2 weeks, and I will talk to you soon. Until then, I'm Alex Epstein. This has been the Human Flourishing Project.